Hare Krishna. So we're having our prelude today to our Gopani festival, which of course is tomorrow. Today we are getting into the mood for that. So what we're going to do now, we are just sort of modifying the schedule a little. There was to be Abhishek from about now till 7, but for the time being we are going to read a little bit about Lord Chaitanya, and then at about 6 we'll continue with the Abhishek. Is that okay? I think it'll have to be, because that's what we're doing. Yes, so that's what we're going to do. Yes, and tomorrow night we have special program. I guess I'll read that out to you later on, but it'll be an evening program as we normally do on these appearance days, starting about 7, starting with the arati at 7. So today we're going to read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 4, entitled Sri Madhavendra Puri's Devotional Service. Coincidentally, 2 days ago, yes, day before yesterday, was the disappearance day of Srila Madhavendra Puri, who was a very great devotee in our line through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this fourth chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, of the Madhya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, is talking about the pastimes of Madhavendra Puri, and particularly in the context of how Lord Chaitanya was informed about Madhavendra Puri by Lord Nityananda. In fact, Lord Nityananda is sort of like a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, something like that. So in this fourth chapter of the Madhya Leela, Lord Nityananda explains the activities of Madhavendra Puri, this very great devotee, to Lord Chaitanya. And then, having heard the glories of Madhavendra Puri, then Lord Chaitanya recites one very special verse spoken by Madhavendra Puri. And this verse was extremely dear to Lord Chaitanya, and it expresses the mood of Lord Chaitanya more or less exactly. And then it explains how ecstatic Lord Chaitanya became when he recited that verse. So we'll read here some of the descriptions of Lord Chaitanya and how he recited this verse, which was spoken initially by Madhavendra Puri. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
So this is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela Chapter 4, Sri Madhavendra Puri's devotional service, beginning with text 191. Madhavendra Puri, he is very important person in our line, because he is actually the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master. Even though Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the absolute truth, and he is the teacher of everyone, the greatest authority in everything, he is far superior to anyone else. But still, Lord Chaitanya, when he performed his pastimes here on this planet 500 years ago, actually, he appeared 514 years ago. So, Lord Chaitanya, even though he is the Supreme Lord, and he is the Guru, the original Guru, the original authority of everyone, but he himself accepted a Guru. Not that he needed one. All of us, we need a Guru. As the verse says, Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurudeva Namaha. Hare Krishna. Thank you. So we all know that verse. The devotee there is praying that I offer my respectful obeisances to my spiritual master who opened my eyes which were closed or in the darkness of ignorance. So he opened up my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge of me, I who was born in ignorance. So we all need spiritual master, and this is basic principle in Krishna consciousness. But Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Lord, does not need a spiritual master, but still, to illustrate, to show us very clearly how important and essential and unavoidable this principle is, then Lord Chaitanya, he accepted a spiritual master. That was Ishvara Puri, and his spiritual master was Madhavendra Puri. Up until the time of Madhavendra Puri, there was no knowledge, or very little knowledge at least, and certainly no clear knowledge of the higher relationships that the living entity can have with Krishna. There are five types of relationships that the living entity may have with Krishna, any one of five. There's a neutral relationship, then relationship as servant, then a relationship as a friend, then a relationship as a parent, and finally the highest type of relationship available is that of a conjugal lover, as in the case of Srimati Radharani. She epitomizes that, as we see, of course, on the altar. Sri Sri Radharadana. So very beautiful. The ideal loving couple. So, up until the time of Madhavendra Puri, the possibility of having conjugal relationship with the Supreme Lord was not known, or hardly known.
even parental relationship, even a friendly relationship was hardly known. Just like we see in Ramayana, there's the famous pastime where Lord Ram insists on embracing Hanuman and Hanuman embracing him, Lord Ram. And Hanuman did that, but Hanuman felt embarrassed. He didn't just embrace in a very spontaneous way Lord Ram, although he embraced him, but he was rather hesitant, quite hesitant, because he was in the mood that I am the servant. Servant means I'm in very lower position. So how can I just embrace my master? This is something which may be done, first of all, by friends, or parent to child, or lovers. But Hanuman was feeling that I'm just a servant. How can I embrace Lord Ram in such an intimate way? It is not suitable. So up until the time of Madhavendra Puri, these higher relationships beyond servitude, beyond dasya ras, they were hardly known, if at all known, in our Vaishnava line, at least since the time of Lord Krishna. So of course Lord Chaitanya, one of his main contributions was to establish in very vivid ways that these higher relationships are there in Goloka Vrindavan, and that we can achieve Goloka Vrindavan. We can achieve these relationships. Lord Chaitanya taught that and demonstrated that very dramatically even. But two generations before Lord Chaitanya, Madhavendra Puri came and he began to reveal that. He began that work of revealing these higher relationships. In fact, there is one book called Gaura Ganadesh Dipika, which means a light, a small light on the associates, the followers of Lord Chaitanya. In that book, the author, Kavi Karnapur, he describes how many of the followers of Lord Chaitanya, they are also present with Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. They are not only with Lord Chaitanya, but they are also with Radha and Krishna. This is an interesting point. You may have an eternal relationship with Krishna. You may have an eternal relationship with Lord Chaitanya. Or you may have eternal relationships with both of them simultaneously. This is possible, transcendentally. So, in that particular book, the author is describing many examples of this in terms of Lord Chaitanya's, many of his close personal associates. So Madhavendra Puri, he is also, not only is he connected with Lord Chaitanya, as shown by his appearing like this before Lord Chaitanya's appearance to set the scene and pave the way for Lord Chaitanya and his mission, but Madhavendra Puri, he is also present in Krishna's pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. And do you know what his particular position is in Goloka Vrindavan? He has a very interesting position there. Madhavendra Puri in Krishna's pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan is a kalpa vriksha tree. He is a wish-fulfilling tree. In Goloka Vrindavan, Of course, in the spiritual world, there's no such thing as dumb animals or plants who are even less than dumb animals. In Goloka Vrindavan, all the living entities are conscious, fully conscious, more conscious than us, and fully evolved as persons. So, Madhavendra Puri, he is a wish-fulfilling tree in Goloka Vrindavan, and he came before Lord Chaitanya, came to pave the way and set the scene for Lord Chaitanya. In that capacity, like the root of the Chaitanya tree, on the basis of his desire, by his mercy, our desires to advance in Krishna consciousness and even to achieve Goloka Vrindavan, the association of Radha and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, by his mercy it is possible. So he's a very special person in that way. And he spoke one verse in which he expressed the conjugal mood very nicely. And Lord Chaitanya, he also heard that verse spoken by Madhavendra Puri in that conjugal mood. And Lord Chaitanya appreciated that verse so much. That is what we're going to read right now. So beginning with text 191, we'll read a number of verses. Eta bali pade prabhu tanra kriti shloka ye shloka chandre jagat karya che aloka. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read the famous verse of Madhavendra Puri. That verse is just like the moon. It has spread illumination all over the world. Gashite, gashite, yaiche, malaya jasara, gandabade, taiche, shlokyara, vichara. Continuous rubbing increases the aroma of Malaya sandalwood. Similarly, consideration of this verse increases one's understanding of its importance. Ratnagana madhya yaiche kostubha mani rasakavya madhya taiche e shloka gani. As the kostubha mani is considered the most precious of valuable gems, this verse is similarly considered the best of poems dealing with the mellows of devotional service. E shloka kahiya chena radha takurani tanya kripaya spuri yache madhavendra vani. Actually, this verse was spoken by Srimati Radharani herself, and by her mercy only was it manifest in the words of Madhavendra Puri. This verse just appeared in the mind of Madhavendra Puri. So, the author is explaining here that this was by the causeless mercy of Srimati Radharani, she caused that verse to manifest within his mind. Kiva Gora Chandra Iha Kare Aspadana Iha Aspadite Ara Nari Chota Jana. Only Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has tasted the poetry of this verse. No fourth man is capable of understanding it. There's a brief purport by Srila Prabhupada. This indicates that only Srimati Radharani, Madhavendra Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are capable of understanding the purport of this verse. So what are we doing reading this verse then? That arguably could be a good question. But the point is that only Srimati Radharani, Madhavendra Puri, and Lord Chaitanya could really enter into that verse and realize that verse and become part of that verse, so to speak. We, I think when we hear the verse, we will understand it, at least in the sense that we will get the basic idea. But to enter into that verse, that is something else. And only these three people were capable of doing that, and no fourth person. Sheshakale e shloka patite patite siddhi prapti haila puriya shlokira sahite. Madhavendra Puri recited this verse again and again at the end of his material existence. Thus uttering this verse, he attained the ultimate goal of life. So this is a very important verse, and now we are going to read this verse. So please, devotees, listen carefully. Ai dina dayadranathe maturanatha kadavalokyase hridayam twad aloka kataram dayata brahmyati kim karomyaham. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. Oh, most beloved one, what shall I do now? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The uncontaminated devotees who strictly depend on the Vedanta philosophy are divided into four sampradayas, or transcendental parties. Out of the four sampradayas, the Sri Madhvacharya Sampradaya was accepted by Madhavendra Puri. Thus, he took sannyas according to the parampara, the disciplic succession. Beginning from Madhvacharya down to the spiritual master of Madhavendra Puri, the acharya named Lakshmipati, there was no realization of devotional service in conjugal love. Sri Madhavendra Puri introduced the conception of conjugal love for the first time in the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. And this conclusion of the Madhvacharya Sampradaya was revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he toured southern India and met the Tattvavadis, who supposedly belonged to the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. When Sri Krishna left Vrindavan and accepted the kingdom of Mathura, Srimati Radharani, out of ecstatic feelings of separation, expressed how Krishna can be loved in separation. Thus, devotional service in separation is central to this verse. Worship in separation is considered by the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya to be the topmost level of devotional service. According to this conception, the devotee thinks of himself as very poor and neglected by the Lord. Now, of course, this poorness, this poverty that the devotee is feeling in this mood, very high mood of separation from Krishna, this is not a mood of material poverty. It is not that that devotee feeling very materially poor, materially poverty-stricken, and neglected by the Lord, then prays to the Lord, "My dear Lord, please give me lots of money." No. Just like, you know, in our Guru Puja song, which we sing every day, there's that one verse towards the end. Sri Guru Karuna Sindhu Adama Janara Bandhu Lokanath Lokera Jivana. So now, the translation which we normally use for that particular verse is that the spiritual master is the ocean of mercy, the friend of the poor, and Lord and Master of the devotees. Now, friend of the poor is the translation of the words Adama Janara Bandhu. Actually, strictly speaking, of course, in a certain sense, it is very suitable, because Adama Jana means those people who are very lacking in spiritual life, religious life. They're very lacking. In other words, they're very fallen. Or in other words, they're very poor, poverty-stricken spiritually. But of course, the way it is presented in the translation, if you're not so familiar with the context, then you might think that the spiritual master is particularly the friend of the people who don't have much money. Of course, he is also the friend of everyone. But we should be a little clear within our minds what is meant there. It is actually meaning, or particularly meaning, those who are spiritually bankrupt. He is the friend of them because he goes to help them. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada says here, according to this conception of devotional service in separation, the devotee thinks of himself as very poor and neglected by the Lord. Thus he addresses the Lord as Dina Dayadranath, as did Madhavendra Puri. Dina Dayadranath means he who is the Lord of and who is very merciful to those who are Dina, which basically means fallen, Patita, like that, fallen souls. You know, we have this practice. There is a type of a practice in the society of devotees of adopting, you could say, nicknames or abbreviated names for other devotees sometimes. Therefore, our respected devotee, Brihat Mridanga Prabhu, he may become Brihat. Or our respected devotee, Jai Sachinandan Prabhu, he may become Jai. I think you all know about these things. But our respected devotee, Dina Bandhu Prabhu, we should not call him Dina. Really. We don't even think, it's just a friendly abbreviation, because this is a common social practice. But actually what it means is you're saying, oh fallen one. Dina Prabhu, oh my master who has fallen. Anyway, that's just the little point there. So, Madhavendra Puri, and such an ecstatic feeling is the highest form of devotional service, to feel that, oh, I am very fallen, but my Lord is so kind. Let me just throw myself at his lotus feet and just wait for his mercy. That will be very nice.
for me. So Srila Prabhupada says, such an ecstatic feeling is the highest form of devotional service. Because Krishna had gone to Mathura, Srimati Radharani was very much affected, and she expressed herself thus, quote, "My dear Lord, because of separation, because of your separation, my mind has become overly agitated. Now tell me, what can I do? I am very poor, and you are very merciful. So kindly, have compassion upon me, and let me know when I shall see you." This is the mercy. Not that I am very poor. So kindly let me know when you will give me lots of money. Not like that. Unquote. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always expressing the ecstatic emotions of Srimati Radharani that she exhibited when she saw Uddhava at Vrindavan. You may know that story. It's a very beautiful story. Lord Krishna had left Vrindavan and gone to Mathura. All the inhabitants of Vrindavan were thrown into a bottomless, endless ocean of separation. They were simply drowning there. So, Lord Krishna, being very kind, he sent a message with his Prime Minister, Uddhava. So that is described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how Uddhava came and he recited the message of Krishna to the gopis. And he saw how they responded. It was very amazing. Particularly Srimati Radharani became so overwhelmed hearing this message from Krishna, she actually became somewhat mad. She started talking to one bumblebee. There was one bee just buzzing around as bees do, minding his own bee business from flower to flower. Somehow, in that madness of the ecstasy of separation, Srimati Radharani thought, oh, this is a messenger from Krishna. So initially, in that mood of transcendental madness, she expressed some transcendental anger towards Krishna, but she expressed it to the bee. She said, oh, so you have come from Krishna, have you? And why have you come from Krishna? You've brought a message from him? What makes you think we need a message from Krishna? He left us. He doesn't need us. So what makes him or you think that we need him? So we don't need you, and we don't need your message. So you just go away. Then she told that bee that actually you are just like your unreliable master, Krishna. Just like Krishna, he would enjoy pastimes with one girl and then go to another, leaving the first girl, and then another, leaving the second girl, and on like this. So in a similar way, you go to one flower, and when you have enjoyed it and taken all the pollen, you leave it bereft and you go to the next flower. And you take all the pollen from there and then you leave that flower. So then Radharani told that bee, you are the unreliable servant of an unreliable master, and I don't need you. You go. So then that bee He was just buzzing around as bees do. He just went around the corner or somewhere, quickly buzzed away, out of sight of Srimati Radharani. And suddenly Srimati Radharani, her mood of transcendental madness changed. And suddenly she thought, oh no, he's gone back to Krishna. And he's going to tell Krishna what I just said. Oh no, this is a disaster. What to do, what to do? She was lamenting. Then suddenly that bee came buzzing back. Because he was not a messenger from Krishna, actually. He was just a bee. But Radharani thought, ah, my lucky day. He has not gone to see Krishna yet. Let me speak to him again. So then she said, oh, my dear bee. Her mood changed. Very accommodating and extremely pleasant. Oh, my dear bee. I'm so happy to see you again. I feel so pleased just to see you. And do you have a message from our dear Krishna? We are so concerned about him. And so on and so forth. Hoping that the bee would then go back and tell a good story. So when Uddhava saw that and heard that, he was just completely astonished. We cannot describe even how amazed he was. And a little later, he was just practically bewildered by seeing that, so overwhelmed that later, as he was leaving Vrindavan, he was coming to his senses a little bit more, composing himself a little more. Then he thought, that what I have seen, what I've heard, is so amazing. These devotees, these gopis, are so amazing. They're so attached to Krishna. They're the greatest devotees. By far they're the greatest. Not just the greatest, but just in a class of their own altogether. So he thought, let me take birth as grass here in Vrindavan. So maybe I will be so fortunate that they may step on my head. Or even if they don't step on my head, but maybe if they walk nearby, some dust kicked up by their feet may land on my head. That will be my greatest good fortune. So Uddhava was feeling like that. And Srila Prabhupada says that Lord Chaitanya was always expressing the ecstatic emotions of Srimati Radharani that she exhibited when she saw Uddhava at Vrindavan. Similar feelings experienced by Madhavendra Puri are expressed in this verse. Therefore, Vaishnavas in the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya say that the ecstatic feelings experienced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his appearance came from Sri Madhavendra Puri through Ishvara Puri. All the devotees in the line of the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya accept these principles of devotional service. And we'll read just another couple of verses which explain how Lord Chaitanya became ecstatic having recited that verse. Eshloka padite pramu haila murichite premete vivashahana padila bunite. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited this verse, he immediately fell to the ground unconscious. He was overwhelmed and had no control over himself. Asta vyaste kole kari nila nityananda krandana kariya tabe ute gora chandra. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell to the ground in ecstatic love, Lord Nityananda,
quickly took him on his lap, crying, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then got up again. Premon mada haila uti, iti uti daya, hankara karai hase, kande nache gaya. Exhibiting ecstatic emotions, the Lord began to run here and there, making resounding noises. Sometimes he laughed, and sometimes he cried, and sometimes he danced and sang. Ai dina, bale bara bara, kante na nisare vani, netre ashru dara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not recite the whole verse. He simply said, ai dina, repeatedly. Thus, he could not speak, and profuse tears were in his eyes. Ai dina, he's just saying, oh, I'm so fallen. Oh, I'm so fallen. Kampa sveda pula kashru stamba vai varnya nirveda vishada jadya garva harsha dainya. Trembling, perspiration, jubilant tears, shock, fading of the bodily color, disappointment, moroseness, loss of memory, pride, joy, and humility were all manifest in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. E shloke ugadila premera kapata gopinatha sevak deke prabhura premanata. This verse uncovered the door of ecstatic love, and when it was exhibited, all the servants of Gopinath saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dance in ecstasy. I'll just recite that verse again. Aidina Dayajanathe Maturanatha Kadamalokyase Hridayam Twad Aloka Kataram Dayata Brahmyati Kim Karom Yaham. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? So, this is little insight into the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, of course, he came to deliver the Yuga Dharma, Harinam Sankirtan, that we'll talk about a little more tomorrow on his actual appearance day. But there's also a more subtle or more confidential reason why Lord Chaitanya appeared. Actually, there are a number of more confidential reasons, like personal reasons, you could say. His own feelings about himself, his own conceptions and what he himself as an individual was wanting to experience. We understand that when Lord Krishna returned to Goloka Vrindavan 5,000 years ago, then after returning, he was sitting there thinking, oh, that was very wonderful. So many pastimes we had. It was so ecstatic with all the devotees in Vrindavan. So wonderful. He was thinking, I was so happy. But then Lord Krishna was thinking that it seemed to me that while I was enjoying being served by my devotees in Vrindavan, actually it seemed to me that they were also enjoying. Normally the master enjoys and the servant does all the hard work. But Lord Krishna was thinking that I was enjoying being served, but it seemed to me that my servants were also enjoying serving me. Not only were they enjoying serving me, but it seemed that they were getting more enjoyment from serving me than I was getting from being served by them. In fact, Lord Krishna thought that it seemed to me that they were getting much more pleasure. In fact, very, very much more pleasure. You know how much more? How many times more? Lord Krishna thought. He thought that they were enjoying 10 million times more than me. Oh, that's quite something. So Lord Krishna thought, I want to experience that myself. Therefore he appeared as Lord Chaitanya. Because he himself, on his own account, as his own personal desire, because he is a person, he has his own individual personality and nature. So he felt, I want to experience this myself. So he appeared as Lord Chaitanya to taste the ecstasy that the devotees experience through rendering devotional service, and particularly the ecstasy felt by Srimati Radharani. So this verse then is considered very special verse, as we read, just as the Kaustubha gem is considered the best of all gems. So this verse is considered the best of all verses. And Lord Chaitanya, he would simply become absorbed in hearing this and meditating on this. So this is one of the great gifts of Lord Chaitanya. His gift of Sankirtan, as we said, we will discuss more tomorrow. But for today, I wanted just to say a little bit about this. That Lord Chaitanya, he gave us the Sankirtan movement. In this way, he gave us freedom from being entangled in this unpleasant material world. He is so kind to help us like that. But beyond simply getting out of Maya, getting out of our suffering, difficult position, and becoming happy, beyond even that, Lord Chaitanya has given us, and he has demonstrated himself even how to do it. Not just spoken about it or taught about it, but he has demonstrated how a devotee can come to that topmost level of pure devotional service, even on the level of the gopis in Vrindavan. And ultimately on this level, as expressed in this verse, of that loving ecstasy in separation from Lord Krishna, which is the highest ecstasy. Why is it the highest? There are a number of explanations. One is, there is a saying that absence makes the heart grow fonder. You know, you may have a friend and familiarity breeds contempt. You may have a friend you see every day, and then, you know, from time to time you feel a little irritated with them, because familiarity breeds contempt sometimes. But then suddenly you lose that friend. And then you realize, oh, how much this friend meant to me, actually. In hindsight, things are a lot easier to understand. So there's that aspect in separation, that when the devotees are separated from Krishna, then they can appreciate that what I have lost, oh no, how did I lose that? I must get that again. So separation encourages one in one's attachment to Krishna in that way. Then there's another explanation, a little more subtle, that when you are face to face with Krishna, then you are here and Krishna is there. And you can see Krishna, and that's very nice, extremely nice. And you can embrace Krishna and hold Krishna to your chest, and that is very nice. You can be so close to Krishna, heart to heart, practically. But when you are separated from Krishna, then externally, of course, you cannot see him or embrace him. But internally, the mind, the consciousness, the heart becomes completely fixed and absorbed in Krishna. Internally. Anyway, yes. Absorbed in Krishna. And then Krishna is even closer. Krishna is then within your heart. Your connection is even closer than if you were to embrace him tight to your chest. You get the idea. It's even closer. He's there within your heart. So that experience of the ecstasy of separation is very nice. The highest ecstasy. And we are very fortunate, in a sense, so to speak, because we are very separate from Krishna. So we have a very good foundation for developing some relationship in separation. But the problem is that we are not aware, we're not sufficiently aware of the detrimental aspects of being separated from Krishna. We may think that it's okay, I'm doing all right, I'm here in Chatsworth, I have my house in Chatsworth, so I'm okay. Actually, we are separated from Krishna. And if we keep chanting Hare Krishna, studying Srila Prabhupada's books, associating with the devotees and rendering devotional service, gradually it will become more and more clear what is the real import of the fact that we are separated from Krishna now. And in that way, we can develop some feeling, at least a little bit, like what Lord Chaitanya expressed here. Hare Krishna. So now, I was asked to finish at 6, so the Abhishek could continue. So I think I'll leave the questions, if you don't mind. If anyone's asked a question and they really feel they want an answer, you can come and ask me afterwards. Otherwise, we'll finish here. And before we finish, we'll tell you the program for tomorrow. 7 o'clock is the beginning of the program, Arati. 7:30 is Abhishek, to 8:30 or thereabouts. Then there'll be a class at 8:30. And anyway, yes, prasadam, I assume, afterwards. Hare Krishna. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki.